Big music week in town in Las Vegas. Life is Beautiful coming up this weekend. Case Kiefer and I, Taylor Byrne, are going to be out there most of the weekend checking it out. But for now, sit down, settle in. We broke you off with a little Arctic Monkeys who are on the Saturday bill. Now we are pivoting, not to the hardwood. We're back to football, gentlemen. Basketball gets going here in about 3 weeks. We can touch on the showcase last week a little bit, but mostly coming off the bye week, it is your 2-5 UNLV football Rebels.
Bye week came at a perfect time. UNLV gets momentum from a Fresno State win. They have something to practice for in terms of hey, we're not as bad as we thought, where our only win was a one-point victory against a awful, awful lower classification team. And you get a chance to get healthy. I think they're going to go into Utah State, give maximum effort, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, not a great game as far as building momentum for that. You know, bye week, we'll see how healthy they are. UNLV never great with injury information, now even less since they're not putting out the farce that was that injury report.
Well, at least they decided to figure that out. That
was Devontae Davis, you know, we'll see with him. I never, you know, whatever procedure he had, I don't know. I didn't think it was something that was going to take him out for the whole year, but I don't know what we're looking at as far as returning. I know because someone on Twitter had asked me if he's going to be back for this week. Simple answer, I don't know. I hope to find out more about that.
I can't even remember what number he wears, to be honest with you.
81.
That a kid. I have a – when you get done with your Devontae Davis, I got a Devontae Boyd story that's going to shock
you. Oh, let's hear it.
Okay.
Devontae Boyd, the guy taking the mantle from Devontae Davis, lives with the elder Davis. The Devontaes spell their names differently. They do a lot similar on the field.
Yes. So Devontae Boyd, his story, and you've written about it on our website, sun.com. He comes from Louisiana to Basic as a sophomore. He's a hit right away, but he's homesick.
I love those pink gloves.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a whole story about those pink gloves as sophomore year.
So basically, he just finds a home at Basic. Everybody loves him there. When he was trying to qualify for UNLV, he was at Basic every day, lifting weights, getting tutoring, even though he graduated. So he shows up at a lot of their games, and UNLV's got the bye week. They're playing Foothill this week. Battle for Boulder Highway, huge rivalry, places packed like you've never seen before. There's Devontae in his UNLV home, Basic homecoming jersey from like 2 years ago, number 7, and he's on the sideline.
Yeah.
And he's not staying in the coach's box. He's literally like next to me as a reporter. So I'm on the 5, he's in the 5, and he's coaching up the kids, and he's got that, you know, that southern drawl when he talks, and he's like talking junk to the Foothill players. And finally the referee was like, "Who are you on the team? What are you doing? You can't do that.
You got
that.
A jersey on. You got to stay within.
Yeah, you
got to
stay within." So he came back and he put a hoodie on. And he was standing next to me.
That was his way around.
Yeah, and he was just the whole time just talking, like, you know, basically coaching up the DBs and the wide receivers for Basic. And the Basic coaches were like, "Go at it." They didn't care. So anyways, that was my
Did you write about that? That's funny.
I didn't include it because Basic lost.
Yeah.
Kid returned.
Apparently, he's not that good of a coach then.
Nolan Cohorst, the former UNLV kicker, Basic kicking coach, they executed a perfect onside kick, except two guys ran off sides.
Oh.
So they recovered it?
And
they
recovered.
Kicker
it
kicked it to
back.
Himself.
Yeah.
Everybody for Foothill had ran downfield. Then they got a kick long. They kick it to some 5'5" kid. He takes it back to the house, and he's at about the 20, and he turns and he stops. And he looked at the Basic people and he waves and he starts running again. And it was the coolest thing I've ever seen because the kid was so small.
Is Cohorst special teams coach too or just kicking?
He's like assistant. He's basically the kicking coach. But I think he helps with special teams. Anyways, Rebels play Utah State.
They do. Long way back to this weekend's game in Logan, Utah. So UNLV is able to pull off the Fresno State victory, which – you know, took them to overtime, but hey, they played. They were the better team pretty much the entire way. Fresno State came back in that third quarter and kind of made it a game. UNLV could have won in regulation, didn't, missing a very short field goal, but then was able to win it in overtime because Fresno State's kicker is apparently not even good enough to come out for any field goal attempts, and he missed a crucial extra point. So that's how they get to two wins. Guys, I'll pose it to you. Does what happened 2 weeks ago change, you know, your perception, your outlook on the remainder of UNLV's season? Case, go.
First of all, I know I've been like so cynical and I'm supposed to be the negative guy. I want to say I was happy to see UNLV win. No matter where I think the program is, where I think it should be, you know these guys are working hard. It's good to see them get a victory. But that being said, also on this podcast, I've been about the biggest Fresno State naysayer. I just think they're very bad. So honestly, this doesn't really change my opinion too much.
Yeah, it's just kind of an extra win. It's one of those opportunity games that we had been talking about that they finally made enough correct plays, made the right plays down the stretch.
No Pat Hill at Fresno, and as every day passes on, the program takes one step back, and I think eventually they're going to be the worst team in the Mountain West. My humble opinion.
I want to see a few years before I make that declaration.
You know,
I
mean, that New Mexico's in the Mountain West, right?
Yeah.
And you, I mean,
I bet them once.
There's not many program, and I don't know why we just penciled them in, looking back at the beginning of the year, that they were going to be able to do it. How many programs can overcome a loss of two guys like Carr and Adams and just be fine the next year? And it seemed like a lot of people were expecting them to. I actually wasn't. I didn't pick them to win the division, but I mean, all the preseason magazines were.
I think I picked them. Because, yeah. And part of it is just you look around and, you know, who else is there? In their division, it's Reno, UNLV, Hawaii, San Jose State, and San Diego State. I think I had SDSU second. And I picked
San Diego State. I'm not.
Yeah, and I had considered them for first, but I think Fresno State, kind of to your point, has built up enough, you know, just kind of cachet in people's minds that it's like, okay, there's no one else I really like. It's, you know, let's just give it to them kind of thing.
What about Reno goes into BYU, upsets the Cougars?
Trailed most of that game.
Yeah, Pullian had been losing his grip. There were some gripings out of Reno that obviously when you replace a legend such as Pullian did, the new guy's always going to have.
It's an uphill battle.
Yeah, it's like the guy who replaced Jordan.
Year one last year certainly didn't look great.
Lose the Cannon game, doing things drastically different, which were okay because, you know, he's hip with the times and all, but some of the veterans. He's one of these guys.
What does that even mean?
He's already got like 19 kids committed. He's recruiting a lot of athletes out of L.A. He's using his daddy's name and claiming he's got NFL credentials. He's really recruiting like I wish UNLV would.
Okay.
That's the closest
I don't know what that makes hip with the times, but all
that's
right.
That's the closest you're ever going to get to Ray Brewer saying something nice about him.
Yeah, but the problem is that on game days, he's a fish out of water still. And some of the veteran players were getting displeased. They lost close to Colorado State. They lost close to somebody out to Boise State. And if they would have lost to BYU, I thought, well, maybe my action of UNLV plus 7 might be a good bet on Turkey Day.
Well, here's the thing. They're 4-3, 1-2 in league play. All right, let's look at their three losses. 7 points to Colorado State, 5 points to Boise State, both of those at home.
And close.
And set. Well, yeah. And 7 points at Arizona. So, I mean, this team's losses, A, that's to the, you know, I guess what we would consider the consensus two best teams in the league. And so even though it's at home, you were close, and it's, you know, the quote-unquote good teams, neither of which are in your division. And then it's Arizona who, correct me if I'm wrong, still hasn't lost.
No, they lost to USC.
Oh, they did.
Kid missed
I missed
goal.
The end of that.
Right when my Solomon story came out.
Oh, that's
I hadn't asked you, but I was
college kickers,
about
man.
Yeah.
I
had to literally go wake up at like 1 in the morning and rewrite that story for online after the
That's right. I knew that because there wasn't going to be four undefeateds in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't remember who was the fourth one. But so looking at Reno, that and BYU is different without Taysom Hill. Definitely, but that's a solid win for them. They turn around and they go to Hawaii this week.
Small favorites, 3, I think, right?
It was, I think,
I don't
4.
Remember off the top of my head, but I'll get it. 4.5 right now, it looks like.
But a decent chance for them to finish strong at Air Force, Fresno State, at UNLV, but they do have San Diego State at home as well with that one. But with UNLV, they still have New Mexico, who's winless in the league, 2-5 overall. And Air Force, again, Air Force is a lot better than they were just a year ago. But even last year, you know, was kind of an aberration for them. They're usually more competent than that.
But I'll tell you what, and I've said this 100 times, UNLV always plays Air Force well. I don't know what it is.
Well, they play the spread well in general. Okay. At least in my time here, they have played New Mexico and Air Force very well. And part of that has been the relative strength of those teams at the time. But it's also, I think, a style thing that UNLV just can figure that out, can work on that, can teach that. And having those games back-to-back, too, so they go the remaining six games for UNLV at Utah State, New Mexico and Air Force at home, at BYU, at Hawaii, and then Reno at home.
What do they got to do to get to a bowl? Seven?
Well, I honestly think six and seven would be enough because I think they'd be able to petition since they added that 13th game when they were ineligible. I don't know why we're bringing up bowl games right now.
Because I think
that
they
requires
go,
four more victories.
I think
that's
they
four
go,
and two minimum.
I think they go W, Air Force, New Mexico, right? If they pull out the
I disagree, but okay.
At home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Air Force is going to win.
Air Force.
You owe
them.
Me a sandwich, right?
Can I get in on this bet, too?
No, I owe you a sandwich.
Yeah, you owe me a sandwich.
I owe you both a sandwich.
Yes. All right, we'll bet later. But they beat Air Force. They beat New Mexico. They find a way to beat Hawaii. And then all you got to do is
five wins going into Reno. It's a nice scenario.
Fairy tale, right?
I don't see it happening. But again, this – I guess right now it kind of comes down to how much you believe in Fresno, which what we saw was awful. But the week before they had – I mean, they went and beat San Diego State, freshman quarterback. And they even had San Diego State then in the game after that had to bring the injured senior Kaler back in just because their freshman was so bad. But it was a team that was able to go and win that game. They are Fresno's 2-2 in the league, 3-5 overall.
And they played Boise tough on Friday. They were in that game until the end. They lost by 10. It was a back-and-forth game. They ran the ball. Whaler was a beast.
Yeah, so it's if you kind of buy into that, then maybe you look at New Mexico, certainly. Some of you might think, kind of like Ray does with Air Force and then maybe Hawaii. But, I mean, I think being really optimistic right now, the high end is five.
The only game they're going to be favored in is New Mexico.
Yes. That's definitely true. They'll be like short dogs probably at Hawaii.
Yeah, that'll be close. That'll be a
I can't imagine Air Force being favored by more than five.
I think it's probably – I was going to say 6.5 right now.
I was actually thinking probably 4 or 5.
I'm telling you. I know Taylor really likes Air Force. I think you're pretty down on Air Force. I mean, their numbers are – outstanding. I'm pretty sure they're a touchdown dog here. I'll give you the 6.5 right now.
I totally get you're a numbers guy. You're looking at the numbers. I'm a history guy. I'm a feeling guy. When Air Force
betting
blew,
lines are made by numbers, not feelings.
Bro, I know.
I'm just saying the line right now.
It's like you teach a kid how to your center fielder, and you teach him how to catch a pop fly to throw a guy out of plate. First step back, catch it on the run. Two steps and follow through. And you got all these kids out here who are mechanical trying to throw the ball instead of just letting their athleticism take over and throw the ball. Don't be so mechanical.
No, listen,
this is Air Force over UNLV.
Time out. This argument is not a philosophy argument. I'm saying what the betting line will be.
And I'm telling you who's going to win.
Let's book it then. I'll take
6.5
right now.
Oh, yeah, I want that.
All right.
Thank you, Case. You just got us a good
number. Could Carla just cook this meal, or do we have to go out?
Carla can cook this
Okay.
meal. But the one counter, I guess, that kind of supports Ray's. Air Force only won by 4 against New Mexico this past weekend. It was 35-31 when you can't stop New Mexico.
And they were down, by the way.
Not very
good. My argument, though, I think I'm getting through it. I'm not even saying what's going to happen in that game. I'm just saying Brewer setting a bad number.
Dude, you
take the good number.
No, you're trying to take advantage of my good nature.
You guys want to talk hoops quick?
Yeah, listen, give us the breakdown on Rashad Vaughn, because I think people were buzzing.
I mean, he was fine. My biggest takeaways were good luck, Okonobo is a bigger work in progress than I realized. Which, I mean, I already knew that his offensive game was non-existent.
He's Ken Burch.
But he doesn't know that, which is not good. I'm going to preface this by saying this is the pessimistic view. I can easily come away with 10 optimistic views.
Let's hear that.
Because I think these were the more important things. Because he just was taking shots he has no business taking. The bigger problem to me, just really needs to work on pick and roll. There were a lot of times Doolin was just left, would go. Mm-hmm. Okonobo sets a nice pick. Doolin goes down towards the baseline, and then there's nothing there for him. Because Goodluck was just kind of standing there, not even a pick and pop, just not not working after setting that pick. So that's a big thing. Chris Wood, after the first time he touched the ball down in the post, then he faded away and took a bad shot. But after that, he played really well overall, 5 of 7 from the field, got to the free throw line, shot 4 of 6 there.
He could be good if he does that.
As we've said the entire time, if he stays in the post, he's going to be great this mm-hmm. year. He's going to have really good numbers.
Not to cut you off, but I saw an NBA draft projection where that kid's projected to get drafted in the first round.
Doubt it, but
okay. I'm just saying.
I'm sure you saw it, but I would bet against that.
I don't do the projections. I just report on what they've been projected.
Kendall Smith was really good. Going to be the backup point guard behind Doolin. Really athletic, really fast, which we already kind of knew, but just seemed to have a bit of a purpose behind it. Just really good in the open court too, kind of decision making stuff, which was one of the things that we saw lacking from him as a point guard last year. So some good stuff. Pat McCaw has a nice shot. I don't know what Jordan Cornish is on this team.
He's big.
Well, yeah. But yeah, Rashad Vaughn, obviously the most heralded kid in the recruiting class coming in. He's going to be solid.
And Doolin lived up to the hype?
He was fine.
Okay.
I mean, when they're not working with you, and that was the thing. Like, I think most people came away unimpressed by him or just thinking that he didn't do a whole lot. I saw him just getting abandoned by his teammates mostly. But we'll see. You know, like you said, a lot of expectations on him and I guess a relatively unproven guy coming over from San Francisco, and he's played a lot. He started every game in his career there. I think he's going to be fine, but you know, it is different in this league with teammates that he hasn't played with a new coach, all that type of stuff. So we'll see. But you know, a few thousand people there. Most people seem to enjoy themselves. Troy Brown excluded. But
how many people were there?
I don't know, 3,500.
Who was 4,000, the best dancer?
Something. Max Good.
Who has the longest line? That's what I've been waiting for ever since last.
Well,
week's
they set them up at two tables on each mm-hmm. side, and so basically to get to anybody at this table, you had to be in this line.
You had to go past everybody.
Exactly. So I think they were setting it up to get everybody's autograph on the posters, as opposed to having individual player.
So politically,
I know, which I don't like, because then I see why they're doing it, but I want to see the poor kids who have no one there, and then also judge by who has like 200 people.
I would bet Dantley Walker's top three on autographs.
Could be.
I don't think that's crazy. See, I see your thinking.
How do I go about like getting my son an autograph? Like, when he's like 7 or 8 and he says he loves the Rebels and he wants to be an autograph hound, am I going to go on the court with him and hold his hand while we're in line?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I just wrote a column ripping you. Your jump shot sucks. This is my kid. Can I get a quick picture? could you make
Carla do it?
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty reasonable request.
Yeah, but you guys know Carla's shy about doing things like that.
Yeah.
You guys have been
just,
around
just
her
a possibility. I was just throwing
a few
it
times
out
in a social setting before she camouflaged into where's Carla. So. Anyways.
Right, well, we're inching closer to the basketball season, football team heading to Logan this weekend. We'll see if they can carry over that momentum from the, as Ray Brewer pointed out, much needed bye week. If you're going to be at Life is Beautiful, I'll be the tall kid. Case Kiefer will probably
blocking
be
your view.
Yes, exactly. Don't stand behind me. That's your own fault. If you do, I won't feel bad about it. Case Kiefer will be the one moshing around, so you can not see behind me and then get punched in the face by him. Enjoy the festival.
I'm gonna mosh to at this, but if you got any possibilities, please let me know.
We'll see. We can go mosh to.
I'll be the one hoping to get some Italian food thrown out to me by I can't remember the guy's name from Food Network.
We go
favorite chef.
We go mosh at Matt and Kim or like OK Go or something.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. We'll see what the Rebels can pull off on the gridiron this week. A couple of basketball media availability. Check with us next week, Rebel Room, for Ray Brewer. For Case Kiefer, I'm Taylor Byrne. Talk to you guys later.